Welcome back. Terry Barber here with the Terry and Jesse Show. I've been gone for 4 days visiting my son and had a great time with him. And now I'm back in the saddle. I just want to give you a little tip that Father Charles Murr will be joining us. We're going to be talking about a lot of good topics, but I did want to also recommend something that really touched me in a very powerful way while I was gone. I read a book called My Battle Against Hitler by Dietrich von Hildebrand. I'd recommend it to anyone because what he did in the 1920s and 30s, we're doing right now. We're having our own fight. And the things that he went through, we're going through, and I think we can learn from some of the lessons in that book for us today. Father Murr, are you with us?
I certainly am,
oh,
Terry.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning to you.
Father, good morning. And Father, I don't know if you heard what I said, but Dietrich von Hildebrand was very, let's just say Pope Pius XI really recommended his material, if I recall, from history. And he wrote a book called The Battle Against Hitler, and I'm recommending people read it. As a matter of fact, anything that man has written, people should read. Are you familiar with the author, Dietrich von Hildebrand?
Yes. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you know what you were describing,
yeah,
Terry, what he says he had to go through and did go through,
yes,
under Hitler, to have a voice and to speak out. So many people. How many people have you heard this from? Why didn't the church speak out? Why didn't the church speak out during Hitler? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Why didn't Pius XII speak more clearly?
Right.
What you just got done saying is this. We're in the same kind of a battle right now.
Right.
Where are all those voices?
Yeah. Well said. And Father, just to make your point,
where are they speaking out right now?
Yeah.
If you can see what's happening right now, you can understand the fear that happened during the Nazi regime. You can understand it.
Absolutely.
And you can ask the same question. Where are they today?
Well, that's what I learned from that book. As a matter of fact, I didn't know that the Catholic Church in Germany condemned Nazism before Hitler took over Germany. And within 10 days after Hitler took over Germany, the Catholic Church caved in and said, oh, we're going to revoke the excommunication. We want to get along with you. And I only say that not to embarrass the church. It's just we have human beings in the church. And, you know, fear, which we're going to talk about in the gospel today, is a powerful emotion to drive people to do crazy things. But we're going to be talking not only about fear and how to overcome it, but we're also going to be talking about Dr. Peter McCluck and other top doctors. They sue the FDA for the Pfizer vaccine data, which is very important because there's more pushback happening now on this whole issue of COVID-19. We're also going to be covering an unearthed video showing Dr. Fauci's health experts discussing the China virus global vaccines. Are you ready? Weeks before it happened. And here's what they said.
Right.
He said this.
Right.
The panel moderator asked, we need to have lots of people die for the sense of urgency to occur in mobilizing a universal flu vaccine. Boy, if that doesn't incriminate him, I don't know what does. Also, I've got
that lovely?
Yeah, I got some great that a boy stories where people are standing up for the truth. It should inspire all of us to inspire you and me to stand up and really be counted for in regards to what is true and what is false. But before we get to all these other topics, Father Murr, I'd like to ask if you could read the gospel according to Luke and then give us a little commentary, because he talks about being afraid of those who shouldn't be afraid of those who kill the body, but of the soul. It's Luke chapter 12, verse 1 to 7.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, so many people were crowding together that they were trampling one another underfoot. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. Beware of the leaven, that is, the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. Therefore, Whatever you have to say in darkness will be heard in the light. And what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that can do no more. Let me tell you who you should fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yes, I tell you, of him be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Are not five sparrows sold for two small coins? Yet not one of them has escaped the notice of God. Even the hairs of your head have been counted. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we could spend the whole hour on this gospel. Wow.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could, easily.
Well, give us some. This seems to be right in our face. It's not ambiguous. It's really straight up about living a Catholic faith is all there. I mean, let's go through some of the reading and see how it applies to us today.
Well, you know, I'm privately reading and studying a lot about the Frankfurt School of Marxism,
mm-hmm.
how Marxism really infiltrated, took over so many institutions of the United States.
Yeah.
And it's all really from the Frankfurt School,
okay.
which all of these professors in the 1930s, Jewish, most of them, came over from Frankfurt, Germany. And obviously they wanted to get out of anything to do with Hitler.
Right.
And they came over to New York, and many of them began teaching at Columbia University in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They took over the Department of Education, for one thing, et cetera, et cetera. So they've influenced education. They've influenced everything going on in the country for years. Most of them were Marxists.
Wow.
And I'm studying them to see what kind of Marxism infiltrated the United States of America. It's a special kind of one. But all of them, my point is this, all of them begin with this. You've got to get rid of this idea of the immortality of the soul.
Exactly.
Get rid of that. Get rid of that along with God. Get rid of God. Get rid of that notion. And let's talk about paradise here on earth. The workers' paradise.
Mm.
This is what Marxism and communism promises.
Amen.
Of course, it's never been fulfilled because it can't be. It's impossible.
Right.
However, this is what they promise. Now, this idea of eliminating the importance of the human soul as immortal is fundamentally important to communism, because if you can tell people, convince people that it's the here and now,
yep,
that
that's
counts.
It.
And as I say, the here and now, and not the then and there.
That's a good way of saying it.
Right? the here and now, and not the then and there. Not heaven, not anything after this.
Yeah.
Then you've got it made. And listen to what our Lord is saying. Listen to what our Lord says quite clearly. Quite clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, my friends, be not afraid of those who can kill the body, but after that they can't do anything more. Let me tell you who you should fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast you into hell. That's the guy you should be afraid of. Now, pardon, that's my paraphrase.
Yep,
that's
no,
my
I
paraphrasing.
Get it.
But this is exactly what he's saying. Be afraid of losing your immortal soul. You're here on earth for what? Some people are here for 5 days, some for 50 years, some for 110.
Yep.
Okay. What in the world is that compared to eternity? What is that?
That's
nothing. It's that? Nothing. And what you're playing, what you're risking is immortality. Your immortality, your soul is going to remain alive,
yep.
Either in heaven or in hell.
That's it.
It's going to remain alive for
simple.
All eternity. And what Christ is saying is, wake up. You want to be afraid? You're afraid that you're going to get hurt. Somebody's going to hit you. Somebody's going to put you in prison for what you think. Somebody may kill you for what you think. Forget it. They can only harm the body. I'll tell you who you should be afraid of. Be afraid of the one who has control of your soul.
Amen. Father, when we come back from the break, I want more of this gospel because it's so good. And I also have a real quick story of that being implemented by Father Zechariah Boutros, who's a Coptic priest in Egypt. And when I tell you his story of how he stood up to evil and he had an attitude that Father just described from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, I would encourage you to pick up that Bible and look and open it up to chapter 12 of Luke. We're going to talk more about that gospel and much more. And then this story, you'll never forget. I think Thanksgiving dinner coming down, you'll want to hear this story and how he stood up for the truth. And he had a view of the supernatural aspect of life. And as Father said, that's what we're missing today. We've become too horizontal and not vertical. Even when we worship, I might add. So we need to get back to a true understanding of who we are. And life is short and eternity is ever, forever. And when we come back, Father Charles Rohr will continue to give us some more commentary on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse will be back on Monday. Stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Father Charles Murr is joining us. He's given us great commentary on the gospel for today, which is Luke chapter 12, about not being afraid of those who can kill the body. But after that, that's all they can do. I'll show you whom you shall fear. Be afraid of the one who, after killing, has the power to cast into Gehenna. This is right from the Gospel of Luke. I promised a story, Father Murr. And it's Father Zechariah Boutros, who's a Coptic priest who's converting millions of Muslims to Christianity. Well, here's the story. He was 14 years old. His brother.
Let me just say something before you begin this.
Absolutely.
The last name Boutros is sort of a famous one in the Middle East. They were a Muslim family.
Mm.
And they converted, all of them converted to Catholicism.
Isn't that interesting?
The Boutros. So when you hear Boutros, and they're very proud of that.
I didn't know that, Father.
That's
you.
Conversion. Okay.
Well, great. Well, here's the bottom line. He has this story where when he was 14 years of age, his older brother, who was a priest, was accosted by these militant Muslims, and they said to his brother with a knife, "If you don't deny your faith and become a Muslim, we will kill you." And they actually killed his brother in front of him. He's only 14 years old. And his brother is holding a Bible, and the Bible fell to the ground as they slit his brother's throat and killed him. And he ran to pick up the Bible, and the two Muslim attackers said, "Do you want to be like your brother? And, you want to do, you know, we'll kill you too." And the 14-year-old son, he says to the two Muslim terrorists, "You can't send me anywhere God isn't." So he had a vision, a very supernatural vision that, hey, you kill me, I'm going to heaven. And so they just knocked him out, and they didn't kill Father. But at age 14, he ends up becoming a priest, and then he's been converting millions of Muslims to Christianity for decades. And so why do I say that story? Because of what you just said in the gospel about who to fear. Father Murr, what about our times right now? We have a lot of fear with the COVID-19 and the government's coming down and putting pressure on people, saying that you have to do certain things or else. And it seems to me that we're being bullied. Am I onto something?
Oh, I think you're onto something. Yes, absolutely.
Well, what are we going to do?
This is exactly what's happening. Well, first of all, don't give in.
Yeah.
Don't give in.
Yeah.
No, you know, first do, then say.
Mm-hmm.
After you don't give in, and even if you have given in to this vaccine or whatever, it's really, we were talking about this yesterday with the doctor, Terry, it's not even a vaccine.
Right, no, it's not. It's a so-called vaccine.
Not even a vaccine. I mean, this is incredible.
Yep.
But anyway, then speak.
Yeah.
You don't have to go out of your way to speak, but there are many occasions. I'll bet 20 times a day this theme comes up, whether I'm standing in line at the grocery store, mm-hmm. buying gas, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's constant. It's on everybody's mind. Speak your mind.
Yep.
Say so. Don't be afraid to. Remember how quick we were in peacetime when everything was wonderful,
yeah.
to criticize all those people who didn't speak up in Nazi Germany.
Yes.
And forget Nazi Germany. Stalin's yeah. Russia.
Exactly.
Stalin's Russia. Stalin murdered more people than Hitler even could begin to count.
That's true.
It's just amazing. Why didn't people speak up? Why?
Great point.
Because, and here's the thing, because they might lose their life.
Yeah.
Well, what Christ is saying, would you like to lose it for eternity?
Yeah, you give your life, I'll give you my eternity.
Yes, yes. and you know, Terry, this really comes down to a real, real essential point of faith, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You either believe Jesus Christ,
yeah.
or you don't believe it.
Yep, simple. Yep.
You either believe that he is the resurrection and the life, and he's granting life eternal to those who believe in him and keep his word, or you don't believe it. And I think, I'm sorry to say this, but I think that we're in a church today that is filled. Dare I say it? I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
I think we're in a church that's filled with unbelievers.
Of course. That's why, Father.
With non-believers. I don't know how many people go to Mass so that they can show off their hairdo or I don't know what they go for.
Yeah.
I don't know what they go for.
Yeah. Well,
but they're not there for the reason. They're not there for the reason the Mass was left to us. They're not there.
Absolutely.
So when it comes up to a challenge, mm-hmm. Are they going to give their life for this belief? Are you kidding? They wouldn't give a hair on their head for it.
Well, the Bible says the way the tree bends is the way it falls. And so if you're not living out your faith with great faith, you won't have it at the end of your life. That's why I tell everybody, Bishop Sheen told me this in his books, ask Jesus Christ for more faith every single day. Because if you don't ask, you won't get it. And so when people say, how are you dealing with this? You know what? Anything that is thrown at me, I see it as even bad things that happen, as God permitted it for a greater good. See, so when we have this attitude of gratitude and we really see things from the divine perspective and the supernatural perspective, you know, we don't get depressed or suicidal, in my humble opinion, because something bad happens. We see it as an opportunity to say, not my will, but your will. What can I do to get closer to Christ? Everything that happens in my life, how can I react to this with a Christ-like manner? But Father, there's so much more in this gospel that we could talk on, but I want to take a minute here to bring the smartest guy into the room, who you love and I love, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Full Sheen Ahead. Please go to the YouTube channel, the new one. It's called Full Sheen Ahead, and you'll get all the quotes from Bishop Sheen on that. Here's the quote I want to give, Father Murr, and then let's move on and talk about this quote and see how it applies to us again today. It's regarding persecution. He says, one of the great and mysterious fact that is not generally known to the world is that whenever there is persecution on the account of the faith, it always results in a vast catch of souls for the kingdom of God. Tertullian was right when he said, famous statement, the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Now, Father Murr, I've seen that in the catechism. They quote that. It seems to me that without supernatural faith, we're not going to want to give our lives for anything unless you can tell me I could live a little longer and have more checks sent to me and have my food and my shelter and all the comforts that I want. That's really the extent of my existence. You're going to totally miss what Sheen is saying about persecution, that this persecution that comes, we have an opportunity to basically make a statement, but that my faith is more important than even my life.
Well, yes.
So that's my point.
Of course. How many people, Terry?
Yes.
have made a living, and I mean this, have made a living out of not standing for anything.
Oh gosh, that's our culture.
They go through it their entire lives not standing for anything, and when they feel, my goodness, I've got to stand for something, they put their finger in the air.
That's right.
Wet it.
Yep.
Put their finger in the air and find out, where is the wind blowing from?
Exactly.
Oh, from here. Okay. And what is the world saying? The world is in favor of abortion. Well, by gosh, I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to be brave. I'm going to be in favor of abortion too.
Crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They go along with what is. That's the strong stand they took. No, the strong stand is to be against something when the current is coming against you.
Yep.
You know, it's amazing. But most people go all the way through life without really standing for anything. Put God and his church aside for just a moment.
Sure.
For nothing, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stand for anything.
Right.
They don't stand for the life of a tree. They stand for nothing. They're missing the boat. And this is so sad. It's so sad when you see human lives who they just don't get it.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I don't know. I feel sad when I see it.
Well, you know what I think
and
of?
I see it often.
We call it the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. And it's all about
right,
me.
Right.
How does this benefit me? Me, me. And I think that is one of the problems. And this is, and again, I'm not poking just to poke it at our church, but the leadership in our church needs to talk about sacrifice, okay? Because I think that's what's going to grab people back to the church, is when you tell them that without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday. We need to go back to that.
I am impacted tremendously
mm-hmm.
by something that the Second Vatican Council said,
yeah.
affirmed,
yeah.
that this is the epoch of the laity.
Yeah.
This is the age of the laity, not the age of Aquarius,
no.
the age of the laity. And what they're saying is it's time for lay people
yeah.
to take a stand.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that's true. And I'm going to tell you something else too, at the risk of losing my own life over saying it.
Mm-hmm.
I find more faith in our laity
yeah.
than I find in many in the clergy, and especially in the hierarchy.
Well, I think Bishop Fulton Sheen would agree with you with that. I know you're familiar with his statement back in the early 1970s when he said, "Who's going to save the church?" He said, "It's not going to be our bishops. Who's going to save the church? It's going to be you lay people, not the religious."
Sure.
And I
That's
think
right.
he nailed it, and it really did give me motivation when I read that. I thought, wow, you know, through God's grace, I've distributed, 25, 30 million Catholic recordings around the world. To help people understand their faith, not because I'm any good. It's just because God gave me an opportunity to spread the Catholic faith in ways that, using technology, downloads, CDs, cassette tapes, you know, whatever it took, books. Why? Because, you know, one of the great saints, St. Alphonsus Liguori, said, only God knows how much good can come from one holy book. And I just think that the fires have been lit for the lay people because we don't see our clergy many times standing up for the truth. And we're going, wait a minute, we've got to stand up. I've got this relationship with Jesus Christ, especially with the Eucharist. I love Our Lady. Why wouldn't I stand up? I look at the saints and I say, they're my models. So even in spite of bad leadership, and I'm sorry to have to say that right now, but it's just fact, leadership that's not encouraging us to really be what I would call on fire Catholics, but not just to get along with the world. No, we don't want to just get along with the world. We want to stand for something. And I think that the more we have people like Bishop Strickland, I'll just give you an example of it. Bishop Strickland just tweeted this, and this is the kind of leadership I say is strong. He says in a tweet, you know, he's talking about Nancy Pelosi visiting the Holy Father. When we come back from the break, wait till you hear what Bishop Strickland had to say about Nancy Pelosi and the truths of the Catholic faith. And
I, for one, can't wait.
Well, no, this is a great quote. But again, we need more leadership like this, because that is the most merciless thing to do, is to let someone wallow in their sin. Bishop Strickland didn't do that. When we come back, you'll find out what he had to say. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Stay with us, Pat.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back. Terry Barber here, back from 4 days off. I've got Father Charles Murr filling in for Jesse today. I gave a tease at the end of the break about strong leadership in the church, and what really motivates me, Father Murr, is when a bishop stands up and calls things out. And what Bishop Jay Strickland did, who's on our show every Tuesday here for Virgin Most Powerful, he tweeted this on October 9th. Nancy Pelosi needs to wake up to the truth before she faces final judgment. That's telling it. Pray that her heart will turn to Jesus. She may have had a nice visit with the Pope, but she's in grave peril because she ignores the truth that Jesus died for Nancy and for all of us. And he said, Nancy, your millions of dollars will fall to dust. Now, if that's not a gospel message to someone who objectively, Nancy Pelosi, who for 4 years, are you ready for this? 4,676,000 babies were killed during her first 4 years as the Speaker of the House. She had a lot to do with making abortion legal. And I thank God there's a bishop like that who will tell Nancy that, you know what, she's going to be, in her exit interview, she's risking hell objectively by promoting the killing of innocent life. Now, again, who am I to judge? I mean, here's my point, Father Murr. I'm just looking for people who love somebody enough to tell them the truth about the gospel, that if they're living an alternative lifestyle that's totally against the gospel, how loving is it not to tell that person? It seems to me the most merciless thing you can do is to let someone continue in their error, and that's what I think Nancy Pelosi is doing, and I think it's where Archbishop Coeur de Leon is asking people to pray for her conversion. We need more of that in our church. So thank you, Bishop Strickland, for really telling me what really needs to be said. Father Murr, I won't let you comment on that because you're a priest, but as a layman, I really feel strongly that when leadership like that takes place, it motivates me. How does that help you as a priest when you hear bishops speak like that, Father Murr?
A great deal, and I'll tell you why. And first of all, because he said it, mm-hmm. and because it's the truth.
Yeah, that's more.
But
important.
Secondly, never forget something. Never forget something. And Nancy Pelosi is going to play this card when she does face God.
Yeah.
She was surrounded all of her life, and especially her public life, by Catholic clergy and by Catholic nuns.
The nuns were a big influence, yep.
Who supported her every step of the way on defending
abortion. Yep, I read that. Yep, that's true.
Right?
Yep.
Well, all right, just those people, I don't know what Nancy Pelosi's mental capacity is. I'm not going to get there. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I think it's somewhat limited. However, when she's listening during a lifetime from priests and nuns and bishops and cardinals telling her, you go right ahead, you go ahead. The church will catch up with you one day. We don't understand. You just go ahead. You promote this.
Ouch.
You know, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Well, this, excuse me. She's been hearing this all of her life. So I cut her a little slack and I put more responsibility on the shoulders of those men and women who should know better and have been telling her lies all of their lives, all of her life. So to hear a bishop speak so well. Remember Thomas More, we were talking about the laity.
Oh yeah.
The laity in their place. Just imagine, Terry.
Sure.
St. Thomas More. A layman married his daughter Margaret, trying to talk him, his daughter and his wife trying to talk him out of get out of prison. Just tell the king you agree with the marriage. Get out of prison. They're gonna kill you, you fool. What's the matter with you? And then having to go to trial, and Terry, every bishop in England was against him.
Incredible.
Except for one, St. John Fisher. All of the other bishops in the entire country were telling him, Don't be a fool. Come and join us. We're against the church. We're starting our own church. We're with the king. Don't be a fool. Can you imagine what it took for that man to stand up against everything?
Incredible.
Everything and everybody.
Yep. Incredible.
To defend his faith in God, his faith in the belief of what Jesus Christ said as true. And it's amazing. I don't know how he did it. I do know how he did it.
Grace.
He did it because he had a great, great, great relationship with our Lord.
Exactly.
He prayed fervently and made it through.
And that's what we need to do. Father, there's a quote from Thomas More. He said, "Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal." You see the attitude? That's a supernatural attitude. That's what we need right now.
Terry, let me jump in here and tell you something else.
Tell me.
Because there's something great that happened today. Today is the feast day of Saint Teresa, Santa Teresa la Grande.
Yes.
Saint Teresa the Great.
Yes.
Saint Teresa of Avila.
Avila, yeah.
And I was telling you the other day, you're talking about an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
I told you the other day of something that happened to me, which is insignificant. Doesn't matter what it was. But I lost out. I lost out on something, on an opportunity.
Really? Oh, yeah.
And I was not a big deal.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was feeling sorry for myself.
Sure.
And then I remembered something that St. Teresa of Avila said. Can you imagine?
Beautiful.
Truman Capote, if everybody remembers Truman Capote, wrote In Cold Blood.
Yeah.
Right? Truman Capote is on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson, and Johnny Carson is egging him on to tell us something about his next novel. Truman Capote only wrote one novel, In Cold Blood. He never wrote a second.
Mm.
He was writing it for years, but then he got caught up in drugs and drink and insanity and then died. But he said, "I'm writing a second novel, and the title of it is Unanswered Prayers."
Mm.
And Johnny Carson said, "That's a curious title for a book, Unanswered Prayers." He said, and Truman Capote, in his own inimitable fashion, answers back, and he said, "Yes." He said, "It's from a quote from St. Teresa of Avila." And Johnny Carson saying, "Teresa of Avila? Who? This is Tonight Show."
Yeah.
He said, "Yes, St. Teresa of Avila." He said, "She said," and listen to this carefully.
I'm listening.
It's a beautiful quote.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful quote. Something to keep in your memory forever.
Sure.
"More tears are shed for answered prayers than for unanswered prayers."
Yeah, I remember that. Yep, that's powerful.
You cry more when you get what you're praying for, when you get what you want. And those prayers that are unanswered prayers, it's not that they're unanswered. They're answered. The answer is no.
Exactly.
That's it. But Truman Capote just turned to Johnny Carson. I have to tell you this. He ended the interview and he said, "And that, Mr. Carson, was Teresa of Avila." "And she was one sharp cookie."
I think that's a
great story. Every time we come to the feast day of St. Teresa of Avila, I remember the one sharp cookie that she was.
That is awesome.
And I thought I'd share that. But it's a beautiful thing because when you think my prayers aren't being heard, yes, they are. Yes, they are.
It's a beautiful story. And St. Teresa of Avila, please pray for us, especially in these times we're in. Father Murr, I love having commentary for you. And I know I want to ask you a little question regarding the COVID-19 and how top doctors are suing the FDA for the Pfizer vaccine, so-called vaccine data. And it's a group of highly educated doctors and medical scientists that are going after the FDA seeking to obtain data released from their license. In other words, the lawsuit was filed just this month in the United States Court District of Texas. And these doctors and scientists are calling public health and medical professionals for transparency. Wow, what a great idea. They're suing the Food and Drug Administration.
It may catch on.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
You know, that'd be great.
Whenever I hear the idea of transparency, Father, I think of the definition. It literally includes the accessibility of information. So, you know, when the FDA denies a request for this information, and then they say we're transparent, I don't know if they have the same dictionary that I have. You know, when they words have meaning, And so I guess what I'm going to ask you is, as these, you know, there's 24 of these professionals, they're Yale, you know, doctors. I mean, these are really scientists and healthcare professionals. They are wanting to say, look, in this industry, we have protocol. When we have a virus that comes around, before we do any kind of vaccines, we have to test it. We have to go through a whole process. And they're saying, why in this case didn't we do the normal process? Why did we bypass all of this? And I just think that the suit itself reads that shots do not finish clinical testing until 2023 have been mandated, you know, to individuals across the country by the federal government. What's the scoop here? Why, you know, they're pushing now to say, I want disclosure of what's in it. And you're asking people to take something without giving them full information. So I just think that, you know, for me to say this, who am I? I'm Joe Sixpack. But these are the doctors who are highly educated in this industry and saying, we need clarity. We need transparency. And I would just say my hat goes off to them, because I think the pushback that's taking place right now, Father, with over 16,000 deaths from the CDC report of people dying from this so-called vaccine, I think we need to really push even harder to find out what's behind all of this. And when we come back from the break, Father, I want to hear your take on this as a Catholic priest. And, you know, you've been around a long time. You've seen these kinds of things. And one of the things that really blew me away, Father Murr, is that there have been more deaths from this so-called vaccine, 5,000 more deaths than been recorded since 1990 for all the other vaccines combined. So there's, you know, in the old days, we would stop the vaccine if we have these, you know, if you have some people dying from it and correct it. In this case, we're not. So when we come back from the break, I'd like to hear what you have to say, because some of the estimates are up to 45,000 Americans have died because of this vaccine. And what's behind it, I don't know, but I can just say this. I think we need more transparency. And when we come back, we'll talk about that and much more on the Terry and Jesse Show. Also, I want to mention, go to CatholicRC.org. Purchase some downloads there. It supports our show. You'll love them all. And stay with us, family.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Wow, Jesse will be back on Monday. Father Charles Murr is with me. I just gave a question to Father Murr about the idea that many of these expert doctors are finally saying, hey, we need transparency regarding this COVID-19. But I wanted to make sure I didn't forget to do the statewide walkout. What? It's a statewide school walkout that's going on for California Monday, October 18th. That's today, or this Monday, the 18th of October. And why are people protesting? Well, I'll tell you why. They don't want the Common Core that's being told to your kids about illicit sex and all this. And also the idea that all kids in California have to have a COVID shot. And so I think that the schools make their money whenever a kid shows up in school, just like the hotel business is heads in beds. Well, it's heads at school. In other words, they count how many heads are at school today, and then that's how they get their tax dollars. So this should really penalize the public schools, and I would say this is a good idea to do. Father, I have a couple of good news stories, but before I get to that, can you just give me a little commentary of what your thoughts are of how some of these doctors now that are in this field of, you know, saving people's lives with different vaccines, that they're now hitting the government with lawsuits. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah, this gives me hope for the United States of America.
Yeah.
It truly does. It truly does. The United States of America is not dead yet.
Right.
The spirit lives on. It's there. They've almost got it squashed. The left. I call them the retrogrades.
Yeah.
I don't call them progressives. I call them regressives. Everything they believe in goes back in time, not forward.
Right.
But they've beaten the American people down to a point where, and this is something that I read years ago in John Paul II. Love and he wrote a book called Love and Responsibility.
Yep,
it's translated into English as that. He talks about the relationship between liberty and responsibility. Mm-hmm. And he made a great point. I remember being struck by it then. Many people give up their liberty because they don't want to be responsible.
Ah, it's interesting.
They don't want to be held responsible. Liberty entails a responsibility.
Yes.
I mean, a real one. If you're free, you have to, you're responsible for that freedom.
That's right.
It requires a responsibility. You have to answer for it and defend it and hold on to it. It's much easier to shut up and be irresponsible.
Well said.
And just let the government take care of me, because that's easier.
Yep.
And this is the real temptation we're at today.
You nailed it.
Thank God that in the United States of America, the possibility of expressing one's freedom, one's liberty, and being responsible, it does not exist in the majority of the world. We know that.
That's true.
Right?
That's true, Father. Father Murray, I've got a couple good stories that I want to build people up. I mean, you talk about pushback. A judge in New York, he blocks the COVID vaccine mandate that eliminates religious exemptions. You know, I go every day signing people's letters for religious exemptions at work, and it seems now that we're now pushing back and saying, we have a right to refuse medical attention if we want to, and that's what we do. So it looks like the courts are now backing it in certain places in the country, and I hope more of that comes. Here's a great news story that should lift people up. Pro-life advocate becomes head of Australia's largest state and will be a voice for the voiceless. If that doesn't get you excited, you know, look what's going on in Australia. Well, we need pro-life, you know, people in the politics to stand up for life. And some of the things this man said, his name is Dominic. I love that name, Dominic Perotti. He's been selected as the premier of Australia's largest state. And I like the things that he says, where he says this: I cannot in good conscience support a bill that stops the beating heart of an unborn child. Well, that's pro-life. He says, we all possess an inherent dignity just by the virtue of who we are, male or female, black or white, born or unborn. He also criticized the abortion bills that are removing any complexity by simply taking away the human rights of an unborn child, and emphasizes that we have a duty to care for mother and child. So he's really speaking our language to stand up for life. Another good news story, someone pushing back out in Europe. The Miss World finalist resigns from competition over the COVID jab. This young lady, 21 years old, she says, no, it goes against my own moral principles, and that's something I've never done, and I won't do it now. So it excites me that people are making a stand, and it should incite us to do likewise. Another good story, NBA. Kyrie Irving told fans yesterday he will not be pressured to take the jab, despite being suspended by his club. So he's not being paid his salary because he said, you know what? I'm not going to do it. And he said, I've never made a good choice out of fear. I thought that was an interesting statement. So I'm not.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great quote.
Yeah. And then here's another one. Good news story. The 40th city in America banning abortion declares itself a sanctuary for the unborn. And you know where most of these cities are, in what state? Take a guess, Father. What state do you think most of these sanctuary of unborn? Texas.
Texas?
Yep.
I was going to guess Texas, right?
Yep, Texas. It's the 40th state. And it's interesting because in Texas, as you know, they have the six-week bill that unfortunately President Biden is trying to stop, and all kinds of pro-abortion people are trying to stop Texas. The New York mayor is actually willing to pay for people to come up to New York to kill their babies. So we are making progress, Father Murr. And, you know, Father, there's one thing that it seems to me that of all these good stories, I mean, like Archbishop Cordeleon is saying, hey, we need to pray for Nancy Pelosi's conversion. We need to pray for President Biden's conversion. These are baptized Catholics. They've gone off their end with their teachings on killing innocent life. Yeah,
but Terry, didn't you love the photo op with the Pope?
No, I did not, actually.
You didn't?
Nope. I felt very wounded by that in the sense of betrayed.
I think we all were. Yeah. I think we all were.
Yeah. And then, Father, here's another story. Methodist Woman Group says, we pray that Texas women can kill their babies in abortion. See, here's another one. These are Christian people who have been baptized Christian who somehow get the understanding that it's almost like a sacrament to kill babies. And I feel bad because one last one, and then I'll turn it to you. The St. Louis mayor, who is an African-American lady, which, 50% of the babies killed are African-American, so she should be standing up for them at least for that. But she says, I like abortion because it makes the city lots of money. So, those kind of people I feel sad for because they're so lost on the realities of the meaning and purpose of life. So I just think more people are standing up now against people like these that are trying to kill unborn babies or force people to take vaccines when they don't want to take them. I just think that we're making a turn now and much of the lay people are standing up. And I don't see as many bishops. I mean, Bishop Strickland, obviously, he's a big promoter. He was on the news just last week saying that this is a man that we might have to lay down our life for Christian principles in the world that we're living in. There's going to be some martyrs. I like that kind of language because he's warning us. Before I get your final thoughts, I want to remind everybody, the Bible with the Barbers is coming up right after this show, and we're going to be talking about a biblical worldview of how we should be dealing with people like Nancy Pelosi and President Biden, and my wife and I will be talking about just that. Father Murr, some of these stories where people have made stands, whether it's the NBA player or whether it's a beauty, someone in a beauty contest or just politicians standing up for life, doesn't that inspire you as a priest to see lay people taking it on the chin if they have to for life?
Absolutely. This is what I'm saying. I find as a priest inspiration in that.
Yeah.
And these are the crazy thing is that it's the laity who are leading the way.
Yeah, that's true. Yep.
And well, you've got great priests, Father Pavone and many
priest
others
life, sure.
who are marvelous and involved in this work. Don't get me wrong. But the laity has really taken its place. And what would struck me as just crazy, Terry?
Tell me.
When I heard the heartbeat idea for the first time, I said, what a marvelous happening.
Yeah.
We can now detect the heartbeat of a child. Now, I'm saying to myself, even if we get in discussions with people who we find irrational on this whole matter, they would have to agree. They would have to agree that there's a heartbeat.
That's right.
There's life. I mean, I understand some of these people, they don't want to. They don't want to admit that life begins at conception. All right, good. We happen to know that that's a reality. That's nature. It's just a fact.
Yep.
However, forget it for a second. Let's leave that aside and say, well, we're not sure when life begins. Well, would you be sure if you heard a heartbeat?
Great question.
You know, would that bring you to assuredness, right?
Yes,
not even there.
No,
it doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And when you've got the crazy governor in Virginia saying, as a doctor, he's like, have the child born and then have a discussion with you can kill him then.
Oh. Sick.
I remember watching it on the news. My jaw dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Well, Father, there are people who don't care that it is life, and they admit that, and they say it's not wanted.
I guess they just don't care. Yes.
Yeah. They don't care. So what? But we've become so immune for sacredness of life. And you know what I say it comes back to, too, and you and I have talked about this, contraception. The idea that I can prevent the transmission of life and have it my way. You see, it's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. It's selfishness. And I even say this today that our government, our politicians, if we really see things for what they are in God's eyes, and this is what we try to do here at Virgin Most Powerful, I don't care about your personal opinion, Terry Barber. Hey, I care about the truth. And Father Murr, you care about the truth. And thank you for your faithfulness to the truth. And Father, you've got a new book coming out. Can you tell us a little bit about that and where they can get it?
Oh.
And about the magazine called Inside the Vatican?
Murder in the 33rd Degree.
Okay.
That's all I've got time for.
That's it. And Inside the Vatican.
The whole hour, Terry.
Yep, it went by fast. Inside the Vatican is where you can get lots of information about that book. Great magazine. Subscribe to Inside the Vatican. Father Murr, how about a quick blessing for all of our listeners?
Absolutely. The blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost descend upon you all and remain forever.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Murr. Up next, folks, the Bible with the Barbers. We're going to talk about, yes, Nancy Pelosi and President Biden with a world biblical view on how to address them and their error regarding the unborn. Stay with us. If you can't get it. Go to our website, get our free app, bmpr.org, and may God bless you.